Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good evening, afternoon, or morning, depending on what time of day or night you need it to be. This is Rachel with Down the Rabbit Hole, and tonight we have a super awesomely special event backed by popular demand. We will be doing cover songs that are better than the original, too. I'm calling it a bigger, coverier, uncut. We are going to just fuck your ear holes with some amazing beautifulness. And here with me, as always, is my incomparable host, Carl Kafer. Say hello to everybody, Carl.
Greetings, everyone. Nice to be here. Rachel and I have some special things planned, but more importantly, we have a special guest with us. Now, TC, I will call him Tom, but everyone else will call him TC. And I have known each other. Would you believe Tom, 49 years?
I know.
It's scary. And the problem
still hurts.
Exactly. Because I did something way back when. I think we figured it was 1974. That has been etched on his retinas forever. And I have given him permission. Without a doubt. And we're going to have a little song to give you a preview. Just a moment.
Okay. Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you again for the third time.
The lady I told you about from Standards and Practices, you know.
Say what?
The censor, remember? This man will take care of you. You know what to do.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation. On the scene at the supermarket, there seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. As you stand over by the tomatoes, and here he comes. Running through the pole beans, through the fruits and veggies, naked as a jaybird. Ethel's over there, jams, jellies, preserves, and pickles. I hollered over there. I said,
Ethel!
She dropped a whole jar of kumquats and fell back into the sweet midget sire. Had us too late. She'd done been incensed.
Here comes.
Boogity.
And she ain't grabbing the pole.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
He gon' give us a peek. Oh, yes, they call him the street. Like to show off his physique. If there's an audience to be found, he'll be speaking it round despite public critique.
Hello, what's again, everyone? Your Action News reporter on the scene at the gas station. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir, did you...
Well, we don't need to go through the whole song, do we?
No, I don't think we do. I think everybody gets the idea of where this is going, maybe. Carl, like you said, we've known each other for 50 years, and we really lost each other for 43 years, but I think he's trying to make up with it for it because we've talked three times in the last 24 hours, so...
Annie introduced you to me, so I mean, obviously, he's trying to make up for something.
I know. But, yeah, I'll tell you what. It's great to have the Kafer and Clark crazy train back on the tracks. I'm really glad to be rekindling the zaniness that people looking at us with hairy eyeballs for those many years, and we're back at it. But let me tell you about the street. Oh, yeah, by the way, Rachel, it was great meeting you.
Officially, for the first time.
I understand you're from the home state of the company I shan't name. That forever ruined retail as we know it. Correct?
Let's just say their headquarters are in Bentonville, and I haven't shopped there in 10 years because they're the evil empire.
Yeah. But you know what? They made wearing pajama bottoms in public cool again, so I give them credit for that. But anyway, Thank you for the Clintons, too. Bill and I can't think of his wife's name. Was it Monica? I'll think of it later.
Monica.
Yeah.
She was definitely the prettier one.
Freak. Yeah, how about it? You know what I loved about Bill? He took blowjobs out of the bedroom and put them on the front page of newspapers where they belong.
Exactly. You know, he was the Larry Flint of the presidency.
And the guy blew a mean sax. I mean, come on. You know?
Who knows, man?
Yeah, you remember, he was a sax player. So,
yeah,
he had Fleetwood Mac at his inauguration. Fleetwood Mac at the inauguration. You can't beat that. Okay, back to the streak. All right, now, 1974, if we would have had internet, we would have had cell phone cameras, we would have had YouTube, Carl would probably be a porn star today. Because we were at a party, and it was, I think it was actually Matt Winkler's graduation party. We were a year behind him in school. And at the time, streaking was popular. Well, our hero, Carl, took off his clothes and did a scamper down the street. Unbeknownst to him, but beknownst to the rest of us, we hid his clothes. I didn't, but somebody else did. They hid their clothes. So there's Carl standing there naked in front of everybody for quite a while. And I'll tell you what, like I told him the other night, it ruined me for gym class the next year being in the showers with any other naked guys. So, but Carl, you know, it was Carl's legacy, let's say. You know, I remember so many great memories.
Well, you have seen a whole lot of shit for me over the years. Now I'm not going to explain this. But we have a mutual friend, Augie Frieda, and supposedly he had at one point, or maybe still has, a Polaroid of me in the purple diaper.
I heard he has it framed on his wall. Yeah, we're going to have Augie on sometime, Rachel. Wait till you meet this guy. He works at Notre Dame University and good guy.
I am already so excited to have you here. So if you are recommending people for some of these future shows we're talking about, I am down to clown, buddy.
Well, let's see how fucking happy you are by the end of this show with me, okay?
Well,
okay, two of my favorite people on the podcast with me. What can I say? So Tom, why don't you start us off and pick out a song you'd like to or cover that you'd like everyone to hear.
Okay, but let's quickly talk about all these cover songs. You know, I mean, about how you and I touched on this about how in the 50s and 60s everybody was covering songs. You and I remember as young teenagers that cute little kid in the Jackson 5 did that Rockin' Robin song. You know, and everybody's like, ooh, Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet. Well, that song was actually a Bobby Day song from 1958, that, you know, an obscure song that somebody hooked on. And that happened so much over the time of music. And I think I like your interesting point, Carl, about how it was kind of regional. You know, only certain people were hearing it, and then somebody else picked it up and made it into a national song. I kind of think that the copyright laws and the royalties back then weren't as strong as they are now, where, you know, you could just hear a song back then and go, hey, I'm covering that song, you know, and nobody did shit about it. So, but that was your point, right? That, you know, like maybe somebody did a song in New York.
It's not so much about copyright. It's about who was listening, because a certain local station would have a local band do it. And then, you know, 200 miles away, another local band would do it on another radio station. And the people that wrote it would get the royalties generally. That's not completely true, but generally they would. But it's all about coverage. You know, there were bands like the Garage Bands, Shadows of Night did Gloria. They were a Pittsburgh band, but so did Cannibal and the Headhunters, and they were out in St. Louis, you know, and so on and so forth. It was all regional.
That's interesting how that worked, too, because, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, then these people are like, hey, they got like $12 for the royalties, you know, and this other guy made millions off it. But, of course, we know the laws change over time. But there are three I'm going to quickly mention that surprised me that were cover songs. Dazed and Confused, you know, and that's one of their biggest, hugest classic songs off their 1969 song Remains the Same album. But it was actually done by a guy named Jake Holmes.
Jake Holmes.
In 1967. Jake
yep.
Holmes. You know, and that shocked me. Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You, Led Zeppelin. Anybody know who did it originally?
Morgan.
You know the song? Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Led Zeppelin. It was off their first album.
It's one of the blues artists. I thought it was Morgan McKinley.
Joan Baez, 1962.
Oh, Joan Baez. Okay,
it was
whoa.
Written by Ann Breeden. Yeah, that blew my mind. Joan Baez did that song, Babe, I'm Gonna Lose You. And here's another one that really got me, and I kind of knew about it, Black Magic Woman, Santana. When it was, you know, that's the signature song. Did you know that was a cover?
Yeah, I knew it was a cover. I can't remember who it was.
It was written by Peter Green on a Fleetwood Mac album in 1968. But what's so crazy about that song is not only did he cover Black Magic Woman, but you know the whole instrumental at the end? That was the
right.
second cover. So there's two cover songs inside that. That was by Gobar Szabo, an instrumental called Gypsy Queen in 1966.
Right.
So he actually took two songs and made one cover song out. But I just wanted to touch on that. You know, cover songs are more common than you think they are, you know. And, you know, and it's crazy. You get back, like Johnny Cash at the end of his career, he's covered Nine Inch Nails and people like that. It's just insane. But
that was actually on our first show.
Yeah. Well, let's get to why we're here. And let me find my note. Yeah,
what
I had
you
my
got
notes
for me?
I'm an idiot. Okay.
You better hit me with something good.
All right. I will kick this off with one that I've talked to both of you about. And Carl and I mentioned about how there's some untouchable songs out there that people are like, oh, this should never be covered. And I think every Rolling Stones fan out there, and personally I don't like the Rolling Stones, but every
seconded.
Every Rolling Stones fan out there has to think you can't always get what you want. Is like a sacred song that should never be covered. It was a single version came out. Pardon the helicopter going over. I live by Children's Hospital here in Pittsburgh. Single version came out before the album version. The single version was like 4:51 in time. The extended version was 7:28 for the albums. You know, it's interesting to note, a lot of people thought the Rolling Stones were actually copying the Beatles. And this song was their answer to Hey Jude. But the cover we're going to talk about today or listen to is by a Pittsburgh band right here in Pittsburgh, Rusted Root. And Rachel, you mentioned you're a fan of them.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you to send me on my way to some coverful bliss.
Oh, yeah. That was actually their biggest biggest selling hit, I believe.
It was indeed.
You know, they're known, you know, as a fusion for acoustic, rock, a world beat. And interesting, I'll just throw this in real quick. Peter Gabriel's album, So, in 1986. That was an influence on that band to incorporate world beat into their own music. Okay, this song that they covered, Can't Always Get What You Want, was on their fourth studio album. Interesting, the band sold 3 million albums. They're on a hiatus right now. But, Carl, I'll let you take it over.
Keep talking. Give me a
What's
minute.
That?
Because I just, because something happened.
Did you go
here.
To the bathroom?
Keep talking. No,
well,
that's okay. Keep talking.
Would you
yeah.
step out?
No, it's okay. Yeah,
tell
I
me
would
about,
do
tell
this.
Me how you, all right, tell me about Rusted Root with you, Rachel. I mean, where you heard about them? Have you ever seen them? Anything like that?
I have, I have actually never seen them, and I'm going to be honest. My familiarity began with Rusted Root began like it did with most young women my age, watching Matilda.
There you go.
I mean, how is that not just an excellent movie? I mean, you've got Danny DeVito, you've got Rhea Perlman, you've got the just amazing, amazing Maura Rooney, and it's so sad that she stepped out of acting after that movie because her mother was actually dying of cancer while she was filming, and they put together a final cut to show her mom before she died because, mother died before the movie was actually released. Okay,
Is that Carl? Carl's back.
Yeah, that's me.
We're
ready.
Going park somewhere.
Yay!
Here we go.
Here we go. You can't always get what you want.
Agreed. I was just dancing through the living room, and my kid was like, what, are you on some really good hold music? And I was like, dude, no, we're doing a music show, and I'm jamming right now.
That was awesome. Yeah, their Rusted Root is not broken up, but technically they're on hiatus since 2019, so I really hope they get back out. And I live here in Pittsburgh, and I've never seen them in Pittsburgh, but I've seen them other places. And definitely one of my favorite type bands that kind of flying under the radar.
So, absolutely.
Thank you for playing that.
So,
all right.
Moving on from there, I'm going to go to Back in the Day. This is a song originally by Andy Warhol and Nico. And
another
it is,
Pittsburgh guy.
I know it. Like, I'm trying to stick with a theme here, like at least kind of tie them together. Originally written about the just absolutely affluent Edie Sedgwick, who, you hear the lyric, oh, yeah, I'm going there. And I will say that Nico, originally being French, this version is actually featured on Nouvelle Star, which is like, I guess, the French American Idol. And
oh, really?
So, yes. And it is, there was a famous confrontation between Nico and, what's his fucking name? Lou Reed.
Yeah, Lou Reed. Sure.
He wrote the song, and Nico was, you know, part of the female vocals for it.
Okay,
I got to ask,
what's the name of the song?
Femme Fatale.
I hate to tell you this, we don't have it. Yeah, we do.
What?
Got it. Never mind. I'm an asshole.
I say, bitch, please, I did my homework.
Hey, Rachel, you and I just talk between ourselves, huh?
Gotcha.
Talk amongst yourselves. He's off in space right now. So there was a bit of a tiff between Nico and Reed because of the way he was saying femme fatale. And she's like, no, she's a femme fatale. And you will understand. This is by Matthew Cycle and, I wrote her name down, Pauline de Tarragon. Yeah, and it was actually, Velvet Underground, Andy Warhol, and Nico, blah, blah, blah.
So many great backstories in that whole Velvet Underground, Andy Warhol, Nico scene. It was incredible,
paintings,
really.
And my daughter's
Mary Warrenoff. Don't forget her.
Yes. So this is Femme Fatale, as done by Matthew Cycle and Pauline de Tarragon. And really, once you hear it, I think you'll understand that this is what it was really supposed to sound like.
And here we go.
Let's hear it, girl.
Nice.
What do you guys think?
Very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Three ex-girlfriends came to mind.
Right? Might have had the same thing. I really felt like that one had more of the feel of it.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's almost haunting. And
yeah,
I'll use that word later. I plan on using that word for one of my songs, but I'm using it on that one. Because, boy, I'll tell you, that was a great version. I've heard the original version, we talked about, and that was great. Good point.
Nice.
Carl, good point.
So what about you, Carl?
Okay, so I'm going to go on.
Like that again, all right?
Okay, well, fuck you. So, anyway, Tom, do you remember my parents well at all?
Of course I do. I loved your parents. Absolutely loved them.
Okay, so when I was growing up and I was very young, I could only listen to two types of music. One was classical, and the other one was show tunes. And
that's right. I remember that. I remember how much they were in the show tunes, and it showed with you, too. You know, I mean.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I found over the years was, I'm going to ask you this question, Tom. If there is any song from a musical that absolutely screams that it needs a punk version of it, can you think of a song?
I could think of several.
Okay. Take a guess. Give me one guess.
I can see Me First and the Gimme Gimmes doing Oklahoma. You know that band?
Yeah, I know that band, actually.
Remember that?
Well,
country,
let me
bro?
Put it this way.
Take me home.
Okay, so let me put it this way. The band's name is Schlong. Okay.
Okay.
And they put out an album, which I just fucking adore, called Punk Side Story. Okay,
cool.
Punk Side Story. And this is their version of G. Officer Krupke, the Schlong.
Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up G that gets us out of hand. Our brothers all are chunky, our fathers all are dark. Golly Moses, naturally we're punky. Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every boy ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us, there is good.
There is good!
There is good!
With all that marijuana, they won't give me a pop. They didn't want to have me, but somehow I was had. Leaves and livers, that's why I'm so bad.
Officer Krupke, you're really a square. They put on in a dutch, he needs an analyst care. Disgusting neurosis, that ought to be cured. He's psychologically disturbed.
I'm disturbed!
What is that?
The trouble is he's crazy. The trouble is he's sick. The trouble is he's growing. The trouble.
My life will be
I did not realize I'd actually heard that version before. My ex had that album, and it occurred to me right at the end. Yes, I put myself on mute while the songs are going because you don't want to hear me laughing and dancing. But when it got to that, the Officer Krupke, fuck you! Yeah, I remembered.
Director Robert Wise is probably rolling in his grave from that one.
Listen, let me tell you something. I think that is the most perfect version of that song. My folks had two soundtrack albums. One was from the movie, and one was from the play. In the play, unexpurgated, they say fuck you. Okay, but that one they would never let me listen to that song on that particular album. It always had to be the movie version where they say fuck you.
Sure, then.
Right?
You know, they should have made a video of that song with Rita Moreno and Natalie Wood. Of course, you'd have to dry off Natalie. But
well, you know what? They have a version of America that's fucking hysterical.
Natalie Wood doesn't float.
It's a great album. I recommend it highly. So we're back to you, Tom.
Oh, me already?
What you got?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got. All right. Mine are a little more contemporary than the rest of you folks, but that's okay. I am in Pittsburgh. We mentioned that. So my next one is Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell, 1970.
Nice.
And I found a quote about it. I mean, you know, and that song, it went to number 14 in her native Canada, number 6 in Australia, but it only made it up to number 67 in America. But it hit number 24 in a live version in 1974. Anyways, I want to read a quick quote about that song. She said, I wrote Big Yellow Taxi on my first trip to Hawaii. I took a taxi to the hotel. And I woke up the next morning, I threw back the curtains and saw these beautiful green mountains in the distance. Then I looked down, and there was a parking lot as far as the eye could see, and it broke my heart, this blight on paradise. That's when I sat down and wrote the song. So, you know, I paid paradise and put up a parking lot. Great song, and it's been covered by several different people. But my favorite version of it is by the Counting Crows, and I might be biased because I'm a big Counting Crows fan. And as I told Carl earlier, I was, you know, doing little notes on it, and I read the Village Voice named it the worst song of the 2000s with a scathing review. But in my own personal opinion, somehow they missed it. Adam Duritz, you know, he pours his heart and soul into every song he sings. Obviously, the lyrics are an extension of his own world view, you know, paving paradise, putting up a parking lot. And when he sang it, and every time I hear it, I can hear it coming from his heart. And that's why that song kind of means a lot for me to cover. It's, you know, even though Joni Mitchell wrote it for that specific reason, I still feel that it's coming from Adam stronger than it came from Joni.
Oh, take another song. I don't know what happened, but this is not working. I'm not finding it.
What happened?
And I can't find it. I don't know what happened.
Hold on.
I had them all set
see
up.
If I can find it.
The version.
I'm listen,
that,
no.
That
pick another song.
2 weeks
now.
Notice. What's that?
Pick another song.
What? Pick another song. Okay.
How about I play one real quick and we'll find that one if you want?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Actually,
song that the version of Big Yellow Taxi with Counting Crows was with Vanessa Carlton, and it was on the movie 2 Weeks Notice. So maybe you can find it on that soundtrack or something. But, okay, while Carl's fucking up, let's hear what Rachel
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about, you know, paradise and things, I actually have two selections I could go with
good
here.
Good segue.
Yeah. So I've got one selection that's more about finding paradise, and I've got another selection that I just really feel like this, again, is the original tension of the song. I feel like I think we're gonna do Another New World, which was originally written by Josh Ritter. And not saying anything against Josh Ritter, he is flipping fantastic. He is just a phenom of epic music. And you'll understand what I mean. This is not just a song, this is a story. And I'm pretty sure if you're not a little moved by the end of it, you've got shit in your soul hole. So this was covered by another one of my favorite friends.
I got soul in my shit hole.
Hey, and that's exactly where it needs to be. So this is covered by another one of my favorite bands, which is a string quartet called the Punch Brothers. It may be a quintet at this point, but it's all string instruments. They are phenomenal. They actually do some of the best covers I've ever heard in my life. I believe we played a Punch Brothers cover on the first show too. If not, we were supposed to.
Right.
So we are going to go with another.
Don't they?
What was that?
I'm sorry. They play a lot of festivals, don't they? I see their names.
I'm pretty sure.
Out there.
I mean,
yeah.
they look
okay.
Very hipstery, you know, kind of, you know, newsboy caps and tweed vests and shit. So I'm assuming because they also cover, like, Strokes songs and stuff. So this is Another New World by the Punch Brothers, originally done by Josh Ritter. You should listen to both versions, but if you just want to talk about epically beautiful music, either way, these guys have got it for you. Like,
there we go. Another New World,
Punch
Brothers. And we do have Big Yellow Taxi ready for you.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, so,
do I have to go through that whole song and dance again?
No. We'll just get to it.
Okay.
We'll get
We're
to
just
it.
Testing right. you.
Yeah, I know you are.
Themselves what I would do next after all that I've found in my travels around the world. Is there anything left? Gentlemen, I said, I've studied the charts, and if what I'm thinking is right, there's another new world at the top of the world for the first one who breaks through the ice. And I looked around the room. In that way I once had, and I saw that they wanted belief. So I said all I got, and my guts and my God, that I paused. And the Annabelle Lee. Oh, the Annabelle Lee. And I saw their eyes shine, the most beautiful ship in the sea. My Nina, my Pinta, my Santa Maria, my beautiful Annabelle waved from the shore, and on board the crew waved their hats. But I never had family, just the Annabelle, so I never had cause to look back. I just set the course north, and I'd study the charts, and towards dawn I drifted towards sleep. And I'd dream of the fine deep harbor I'd find, past the ice of my Annabelle. After that I got colder, the world got quiet. It was never quite day or quite night. And the sea turned the color of sky, turned the color of sea, turned the color of ice. till at last all around us was fast as one vast glassy desert of arsenic white. And the waves that once lifted and shifted instead into drifts against Annabelle's side, and the crew gathered closer. First for the warmth, but each day would bring a new set of tracks in the snow leading over the edge of the world till I was the only one left. Then it gets cloudy, but it seems like I laid there for days and maybe for months. Oh, but Annabelle held me, just the two of us, happy to think back on all we had done. She gave up her body to me, and as I chopped up her mainsail for timber, I told her of all that we still had to see. As the frost turned her moorings to nightingale, and the wind lashed her sides in the cold, I burned her to keep me alive every night in the loving embrace of the whole. And I won't call it rescue. They brought me back here to the old world to drink and decline and pretend that the search for another new world was well worth the burning of mine. But sometimes at night in my dreams comes a singing of some unknown tropical bird, and I smile in my sleep thinking Annabelle Lee's finally made it to another new world. Yes, yeah, sometimes at night my dreams come to singing of some unknown tropical bird, and I smile in my sleep thinking Annabelle Lee's finally made it to another new world.
You stole my word, Carl.
I mean,
well, like okay, so first I have to apologize to you, TC. I don't know what happened with Blog Talk before your songs disappeared. So during that song, I was putting them all back.
Oh, okay.
So we are good now.
You know, I thought you were so fucking anal about us getting the songs into us, and then, you know, you're just going to say, I didn't look them up.
I put them in and Blocktalk fucking lost them, but nonetheless, here we go, we're gonna go with Big Yellow Taxi, and I'm gonna give you another one. Wait a minute, hold on, stop, yeah, we gotta talk about that last song.
I'll tell you, that mandolin was punching me right in the face. That was incredible. But good find there. I'm definitely gonna listen to the original, and I'm gonna listen to more of Punch Brothers, that's for sure. You know, I've always seen their name out there. I never looked them up or anything. There's a band, there's a Del McCrory. Do you know who he is? He's like an old bluegrass guy. And he has a festival every year down in Maryland. It's called Del Fest. Old Crow Medicine Show plays there and quite a few. And I think that's where I saw their name. was playing at that festival. So I'm going to look them up.
Definitely.
And speaking of live music, here's a segue for the lost song that Carl's about to play. In 30 days, on August 10th, I will be in Youngstown at the Foundation Amphitheater seeing the Counting Crows for, I don't know, maybe the 11th time. But anyways, I'm looking forward to that. And thank God live music's back. I don't know if, Rachel, you knew I was at Red Rocks last month in Morrison, Colorado. So
yeah.
I make an annual trip out there. So anyways, this is Big Yellow Taxi by Counting Crows.
Here we go.
They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie, with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie. They took all the trees and put them in a tree. And they charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay paradise and put up a fucking lie. Paradise, put up a fucking lie. And now they pay paradise to put up a fucking lie. Nah, nah.
Like that version of it, and right there when he says that Big Yellow Taxi took my girl away, and you can just like hear his voice breaking. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. That's what I said. I mean, he just puts so much heart and soul into every song he does, and that's, I think I love it so much. And if you watch him on YouTube live, any of his their live performances, he really improvises a lot of his songs. I mean, you know, he sticks to the lyrics, but the way he expresses them, it's really interesting. I sent Carl a link for Rain King, One of the famous songs is like from the town ballroom, I believe. It's a YouTube video. In the middle of it, he breaks into Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen and then goes back to Rain King.
So interesting choice.
Yeah, you got to look that one up. It is so incredible. It was live at some ballroom, but it was the August and everything after they did that album from cover to cover. And you got to check it out. Okay. Well,
cool.
Thank you for playing that, Carl.
Listen, my apologies again, but we're all set now. I'm going to do a quick one and then give it right back to you. And one of my favorite musicians of all time is Joe Jackson. I love
Joe
Jackson.
There you go. Great.
Okay.
Great.
When I moved to New York, his song Look Sharp was my anthem. But he also has done some covers over the years. And this one is from Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green.
Oh, good.
And it's Oh Well. And remember you and I, Tom, were talking about Sheila Gonzalez of Zappa, Play Zappa?
Oh, yeah.
How insane she is. Well, listen to the percussion of this. This is a woman by the name of Sue Hajidopoulos. And just listen to the percussion. It's like, holy shit. Check this out. And it's not long at all.
I mean, that's the words out of my mouth, man. I'm a huge percussion fan.
Tell you what, that song, I always loved that song, but I dreaded the ending. You know, the instrumental, it just dragged and dragged.
I know.
You know, it's such a great song, the lyrical and all that, you know. Joe Jackson completed that song. He did.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is no matter what style Joe Jackson does. He still has that fucking sneer. He's still that angry young man.
You know, you made me remind me of a Joe Jackson cover that I absolutely love, King of the World by Steely Dan. I don't know if you ever heard that. It's a great song, but the cover he does is phenomenal. So, good pull, Carl. I'm not nearly as pissed at you now.
So are you going to one-up him for me? Can you one-up him for me? Give me something good.
I can blast his ass right out of the water with one that he's just, since I turned him on to this song, he's loving it. It's a song called Cry to Me.
It was originally done
by Solomon Burke in 1961. Solomon Burke, okay? And who the hell's he, right? The song really got popular in 1987. It was included in Dirty Dancing. So the original Solomon Burke version. A few other people like the Rolling Stones covered it. Tom Petty covered it. A bunch of people covered it. But the version I love is a guy that a friend of mine in New Orleans turned me on to. His name's Mark Broussard, Broussard. Look him up. His father, Ted Broussard, he's in the Louisiana Hall of Fame as a guitarist, and he was in a band that Carl knows called the Boogie Kings. You're familiar with them, right, Carl? You told me that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely I am. I'm a huge New Orleans fan. Huge New Orleans fan.
Mark Broussard put out a couple albums called Save Our Soul, and he does covers from like Al Green, Sam Cooke, the Staple Singers, Otis Redding, and he's just a phenomenal, phenomenal talent. I saw him 2 years ago at the Kent stage in Kent, Ohio, and I actually I got a YouTube channel, by the way, and I'll give everybody that at the end. It's TC Clark 77. But I got a shot, you know, I bootleg a lot of videos that I shot Mark Broussard doing this song, Cry to Me, and enjoy it. It's an obscure song. Like I said, Dirty Dancing brought it back to the scene. And when that movie fizzled, everybody forgot about it again, and Mark Broussard brought it back to us. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Carl.
Okay, and here we go. Mark Broussard, Cry to Me.
You ready? This is an old classic soul, Solomon Burke. I love singing this song.
Y'all ready, fellas? Yeah, let's do it.
With your baby, beat you all alone. And nobody calls you on the phone. Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Here I am, honey. Come on, cry to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room, and there's nothing but the smell of her perfume. Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Come on, come on, just cry to me. Like crying, don't you feel like crying?
Well, I like that one.
Yeah. I think you'd really enjoy getting going deep on Mark Broussard. I didn't ask
Listen, anyone who does it as good or better than Solomon Burke, which is, he's either right up there with Solomon or right above him, that's freaking amazing. Seriously.
That was great.
And so, my YouTube channel is TCC, all capital letters, TCC77. And I bootleg, I've got probably 60 of them on there from Hall Notes right up to last week in Red Rocks, or last month in Red Rocks, the Revivalist. And I have Mark Broussard on there doing that live.
Here at the end of the show, we will do housekeeping, and we will give you all the time to bump your things. And, of course, we will continue to do so even post-show. So moving on from there, I've actually got one in a very similar vein for you. And this is like one of those covers on top of a cover on top of a cover. And, yes, this is the one I put on there for you, TC. So, this song was particularly made famous by Doris Day, a little ditty by the name of Perhaps, 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 which is making a comeuppance again because it's featured on the new Cruella soundtrack. Well, it was covered by a lot of other people, but what most people don't know is that it's actually a song from 1947 by a man named, I just had his name. Where did he go? Osvaldo Ferrez. And it is originally titled Quesas, 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 which in Spanish translates to Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps. Now, probably one of my favorite bands, and maybe I'm seeing a theme here because we played them on the last show, too. Cake. Holy shit, they do so many good covers. And they're such an underrated band because, I mean, they're huge. Like, everybody knows, you know, The Distance and all that and Sheep Go to Heaven, but the rest of their music is just astounding. And this is their version of Perhaps, 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 made famous by Doris Day, but originally by Osvaldo Ferrez.
And here we go.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You only tell times I ask you, and then I ask you over again. You only answer perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind, if you really love me, say yes, but if you don't, dear, confess, and please don't tell me, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. You can't make your mind up, we'll never get started, and I don't want to wind up being parted, broken hearted. So if you really love me, say yes, but if you don't, dear, confess, and please don't tell me.
Oh, they're so much fun.
I know.
I'm definitely getting into cake now. Seriously.
You would like them. They are a fun band.
I'm hating you because now I have two more bands I have to go see live, the Punch Brothers and Cake. And, you know, ironically, I've seen Cake, you know, scheduled different places, and I just never went to see them. And thank you, Sirius XM Lithium. You know, they play a lot of Cake songs, and they go deep. They go deep on Cake, so I've been listening to a lot more of them, and I love that version. That was fantastic.
He can make everything sound so sardonic, just like, don't you do this to me, you bitch. And he can just say it in one word.
Yep, exactly.
And you're just like, ah.
You described him to a T.
Yeah, I mean, suddenly it's 20 degrees cooler in this trumpeted shade I've got.
Nice.
So we're going to move on because you mentioned Doris Day. You mentioned Doris Day, and so we're going to do another Doris Day song.
And a very famous one.
And it was featured in one of my favorite movies in the end credits, and that's Heathers. And this is Sly and the Family Stone's version of Que Sera Sera.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
seriously, you don't get funkier than that.
Absolutely not.
I got a, my initial picture was them recording that song in the front of a church wearing choir robes.
Yeah.
And now, I mean that now, in a very good way. You know, I just felt that gospel of it. And that,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
That song, I have no feelings about, good or bad. It was just a song that was out of my childhood, and now I know what it missed. It needed soul that only Sly and the Family Stone could provide for that song. Good pull, Carl. Good job.
That was a
good one.
There's
a couple
of
other things before we go on that I want to say. If anyone has Hulu, okay, there is a documentary out by Questlove called Summer of Love. Okay, and it is the Harlem Festival, Summer Festival of 1969. There's a section of it with Sly and the Family Stone, and it is fucking amazing.
I'm definitely looking that up. Hey, a quick sidebar on that Sly and the Family Stone. Carl, we've talked about how much I love Live at Daryl Hall's production he does, you know. When Pat Monahan from Train was on there, they did Papa was a Rolling Stone, and it's just beautiful how they did it. Look it up on YouTube. But it's incredible. Okay. Anyway, great call on that one, Carl. Sly and the Family Stone, that song needed soul, and it got it. It got
Doris Day has no soul. Nothing really against Doris, but no.
Carl, what year did they do that? What year did they?
They did it in 1971.
Okay, so
that's off their album.
Okay,
Fresh.
So it was only like what 3 years after Doris Day killed
no,
us
no,
on
no,
TV.
No, no, no. Doris Day did that in the late 50s.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just picturing her on the Doris Day show. Remember that fucking show?
Oh God.
Good.
Why do you even fucking mention it? Good God.
I know. I hope you don't wake up at 3 in the morning screaming because I did.
Yeah, really.
But, but I mean, that's the only way I ever remember that song, you know. That stupid, in her white dress, singing that fucking song. And, you know, it was completely out of my head. It was completely out of my head till just now. And now there's only one version. You know, I hear it again. It's Sly and the Family Stone. But I listened to that song 70 times. If I listen to that song 70 times, maybe it'll get Doris fucking Day out of my head.
There you go. If I can get Doris Day out of your head, then scorching your retinas back in 1974, you should forgive me for.
Yeah, no, man. That thing's etched. That's still hurting me. I'm still getting headaches from it. Okay, I'm up next, right?
You're up, man.
All right.
What
are
you
going to
fart out your soul hole for me?
Hey, Carl, did you fart yet from that cabbage?
No.
Oh. Well, we've been kind of waiting for that. But anyways, a David Bowie song was actually his third album, and it's called The Man Who Sold the World. And the song really didn't do that well. In fact, it ended up just being a B-side to Space Oddity like 3 years later. But we're all familiar with this one, and I'm bringing it up, Nirvana.
Yep.
When they covered it on MTV Unplugged, that song, when David Bowie wrote that song, he wrote it for Kurt Cobain. That's Kurt Cobain's ghost song. You know, that's the song that just...
We'll talk about that in a minute, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, but absolutely, you know. But, you know, like I was reading one quote by Brian Kay of Classic Rock History, who wrote, Cobain's haunting voice vocals overtook and descended the Bowie lyric into an arena of darkness and hallucination that seemed to be Bowie's original intent that only Kurt Cobain could bring out. So that's that song. I listen to it, I hear it, I watch the video, and it's just, I can feel Kurt Cobain's soul, his tortured soul in this song. And I think that's why I like the cover so much.
So go ahead.
So here we go. Man Who Sold the World.
So I just have to start by saying I don't have to say anything on my feelings about this song. So you guys talk amongst yourselves for a second and it'll all make sense in the future.
Carl, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great song. When I first heard this on the radio, I didn't realize it was a Bowie cover. I was never a huge fan of Bowie.
Even though it was an album title track, it was still kind of an obscure song of his. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I thought it was a vibrato song until somebody at the somebody told me that no, that's a Bowie song originally. So, you know, but that's the definitive version of that song. It always will be.
Oh yeah.
Period.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think even Bowie would agree.
Yeah, I'm sure
Bowie
would agree.
I think it was only, it didn't appear on an LP till 2002.
I mean, it was only available on that MTV Unplugged show, and then, of course, you know, YouTube videos or, you know, however you pulled it up. But, yeah, they didn't put it on an album until 2002, well after Kurt was dead, but I don't know.
The last show they played was the Unplugged set, wasn't it?
Yep. I believe it was the last one in the United States. I think they were in Europe, and they had his little drug relapse, and they ended up coming back to California. I'll have to confirm that. But anyways, yeah, that was actually the last time anybody saw them, you know, I mean, as far as Americans go. So, it's a haunting song.
So on that note, I just have a quick story because we are getting shorter on time than I like. So when TC was first talking to Carl, TC and I had never, like, spoken, texted, whatever, all that bullshit people do, communicated before, and heard that we had done a cover show. One of the first things he said was, you better have done, wasn't it you that said we had better have done a Cake song?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Carl was like, weirdly enough, we did, but that was because of, you know, Rachel. And that's why I played the last Cake song that I did. It's kind of a throwback to TC, like, look, buddy. And I just have to tell you, this is straight from you to me, TC. You have to get off of my, like, metaphysical melodic wavelengths, because the song that I'm about to play is also from the Nirvana Unplugged album. And
oh, look at that.
I know, like, step off my headspace, dude.
That's why I go first.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we did this.
Otherwise, I'm a plagiarizing bastard.
Well, now I'm the plagiarizing bastard, but it's my show, so fuck all of y'all.
Hey, Carl, can't you lose this one, too?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
No, because I'm the tech person that's got it keyed up three different ways that I could put it right back into the system.
How about a little background on this song?
A little background is it is, we were going with the old school and the bluesy earlier and the folksy, and this is by a man I don't know if you might be familiar with, a good old boy named Leadbelly.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Yes, you do.
Oh,
this is actually the last song.
You're killing me.
Last song on the Unplugged album. The original title is actually In the Pines, but everybody knows it as Where Did You Sleep Last Night? And if you want to hear some absolute tortured soul, Man Who Sold the World. But remember what Courtney Love was doing to Kurt Cobain at this time. She was fucking around. She was doing all the things. If you want to hear a broken man, go ahead and play Where Did You Sleep Last Night for me.
Okay, here we go.
Where will you go? I'm going.
Fucking wail at the end.
Oh,
how does that
God.
Not give you shivers?
Man Who Sold the World opened in that MTV Unplugged. Man Who Sold the World opened the door to show his tortured soul. That one splattered it all over the stage. You can
well,
just tell. You can tell, and you know how bad he was hurting inside at the time. I think. You know, and
really
at the
can.
End, he was just screaming it out. Oh, God.
I mean,
haunting,
that's like
we keep coming,
breaks
we keep coming
me.
Back to that word haunting, but boy, that's a haunting one there. So, great.
Yeah.
And Carl, I have a question for you. Carl, did you happen to notice any particular thing in there that would make Rachel really like the song?
To be honest, no. Well, yeah, there was a cello. Yes. Yeah.
You know this.
Oh, yeah.
You know this about me.
Yep.
In case
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
know, TC, I am, like, super obsessed with the cello. I love it. I actually have a cello tattooed from the nape of my neck down to my ass crack. Like, yeah, I love cellos.
Yeah. There's always room for it.
Yeah, and Nirvana is one of those bands that weirdly incorporated cello into a lot of their music.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, that's all right. That's a
Listen, we got to change up here. We got to do something silly after that.
Okay.
Jeez,
right.
Good God. Okay.
Sorry,
so,
I'm breaking
one of my favorite
heart today.
Now we're all cutting our fucking eyes out, right?
So one of my favorite singers of all time, singer songwriters, is Harry Nilsson, and it was 1971. I was 13 years old, and I heard this song. And I fell in love with it. And I think I went through 345s because I played it so much. It's been covered by so many people, including the Muppets. There is a version of it by a musician I don't really know too much about. His name is Ben Hammond. And
Hammond?
He does it.
What was the last
Hammond.
Name? Hammond.
H-A-M-M-O-N-D.
Okay. I actually am familiar with
Hammond.
That guy.
Okay, well, he did this version of Coconut, which listen, Harry Nilsson is one of the greatest singers of all time, period. And
sure.
and I could not believe that I liked this as much as Nilsson's version. But here we have Ben Hammond doing Coconut. So let's have a little silliness, please, after all that.
I'm ready for that.
The like subdued vibe, you know. If
yeah,
you're drinking drinks
I was
like
Googling
that,
them.
You're probably chilling on the beach somewhere,
yeah.
Not dancing around like you want to do with the original.
You might have that wrong. He might have been chilling in the mountains. I Googled while I was listening, and Ben Hammond is 37 years old. He's from Denver, Colorado. So. But he's known
maybe
for
that's the guy you should check out next time you're in Denver. He's around.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm like, boy, I'm going to be looking for his name. Yeah, fantastic.
You know,
he's
the interesting thing is he does that all by himself with loops.
Yeah.
It's just him.
It says
just him.
He is mostly famous for acoustic genre songs. So...
there you go.
And it fits right in, Carl. It says, grab the attention of many of the musical geeks and audience. There you are. And that's why you like it so much.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's also one of my favorite songs, too.
Version.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a fantastic version. And it did have that. It did, you know, you could hear Rusted Root doing that song just the way it, you know, I mean, they got that same kind
very
of sound
much.
Going. You know, almost like
oh,
an
yeah.
acoustic, a world beat, you know, a little Jamaican thrown in there. That was a great song, Carl. Good job.
So what are you going to bring out now?
Hello? I'm Johnny
yeah.
Cash.
I think that's a Ring of Fire.
I was about to say, yeah, that's Ring of Fire.
Yeah, we're getting rid of the fucking horns. Real quick, you know, it was written by June Carter, his wife, and Merle Kilgore. It was first recorded by June's sister, Anita Cash, in 1963. Later that year, Johnny Cash put it on his Best of Johnny Cash album. Real quick, did you guys hear about the whole lawsuit thing between Kilgore, the writer, and Roseanne Cash and the rest of the estate family?
A little.
A hemorrhoid cream company, and I'm not sure if it was Preparation H, but contacted Kilgore about using the song Ring of Fire in a hemorrhoid cream commercial. Should have been used by in Levi's and all this stuff. And the Cash family said, fuck no, ain't happening. We're not going that low. So that was a quick thing to happen. But my cover of it is by, we did one punk band earlier, and these guys are kind of like the king of punk rock, Social Distortion. And they covered Ring of Fire on their 1990 self-titled album, which also had the songs Ball and Chain and Story of My Life on. And I love it because I think that song, it's a great song, but it needed that punk rock feel to it. So this is why my favorite version of Ring of Fire is by Social Distortion. Carl?
And here we go. Ring of Fire by Social Distortion.
Love is a burning thing.
You can't go wrong with Social Distortion. I'm just saying. And I love Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash and all that. That was way better. Way better.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of them fucking horns at the beginning, for starters, so that was good. But, it's the first time I ever heard that. It just blew me away, and it constantly does, every time I hear it. And I don't know if you heard my foot tapping, but God damn it, I was tapping the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah. So was I.
Yeah.
So was I. I will say this, that I'm going to get you another version of that somebody does. Would you believe that Frank Zappa did a cover version of that?
I have the story of that. That actually came off the 1991 album, The Best Band You Never Heard in Your Life.
Right.
And what happened was Frank Zappa met Johnny Cash in an elevator before Zappa was going to do a show in 1990. And he invited Johnny Cash to perform Ring of Fire with his band that night. Well, Cash turned him down, but the band played the song anyway. So can you imagine going to a Zappa show and he breaks out Ring of Fire? it was something. Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right. And I knew you were going to pick up on that Zappa tie.
Absolutely.
It was one of his albums that really a lot of people don't know. The Best Band You Never Heard in Your Life is the name of the album. And Ring of Fire is on
there.
Yeah, there
were seven of those. I think it was number four. I think it was number four this was on. But there were seven of those, actually. Best Band You Never Heard? There's like seven. Right.
The Best Band You Never Heard in Your Life. He added In Your Life at the end. It was a 1991 album.
Right. Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Okay. Well, great. Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that Zappa tie. Because
We got to get going here. So, Ray,
Moving right along. Moving right along here. I was going to save this one for last just because of my weird story associated with it. It would have made a really great song to play last because it is the song that I recessed down the aisle to, I walked back down the aisle to when I got married. Such a bad idea, guys. Don't ever do it. Kids, listen to Mama Rachel.
Marriage is the leading cause of divorce. Statistics.
I'm inclined to believe that. Now, this is one that I stumbled on many, many years ago just by happenstance. And the original band, if you're not familiar, is ICP, actually Insane Clown Posse, commonly known as ICP, which are a hip-hop duo from, let me see, where did they say they were? I forget. Detroit. Okay. So they're like super hardcore, face-painted, like, jump up and down, say all the crazy shit, hardcore hip-hop. And this cover is by a band called Look at the Fields. I've been trying to get some information on them. I think from what I found a long time ago that this was just done for like a school project where they had to cover a song. It's really broken down. It's really basic. And it just makes you happy. And
where'd you
see
this from?
Detroit.
Okay.
I don't know where Look at the Fields is from. Apparently they haven't posted anything since 2013. But they did a whole bunch of stuff apparently, and they still have a Facebook page that you can look at. So if you're interested in any more of their music, it's really basic, really fun. Obviously, if you're an ICP fan, please don't get offended. They were doing this for a school project, so they had to cut out all of the profanity. But I will still do it for all you guys when it gets to that part. So if you could take me into Miracles by Look at the Fields.
Here we go.
never known. It's easy to miss what really goes on. I've seen miracles in every way. I've seen miracles every day. Oceans standing beyond my sight. A million stars way above them at night. We don't have to be high to look in the sky. Know that it's a miracle open wide.
If you hear the original, what was that?
You need to get a hold of those guys and tell them to make more music.
I thought so, too. I mean, if you hear the original, I'm not saying anything against ICP, but it sounds so angry and so much like they just want to shoot you in your face. But if you listen to the lyrics, they're literally just talking about the beauty in the everyday things, and you have to notice and recognize the miracles in everyday life, and it's actually kind of heartwarming, to say the least. So on that note, if it doesn't cut us off here soon, what you going to do for us?
Okay, I'm going to cut through here for a second. We've got a minute, less than a minute before we go into overtime, and hopefully we will go over into overtime and finish this. But if not, I just want to say that on Monday, we have Joe Lansdale at 8 p.m. On Tuesday, we have Doug Stone, voice artist, who's in the new Resident Evil anime that's on Netflix. And that's on Tuesday. TC, real quick, what's your YouTube channel?
It's capital, all capitals, TCC, 7-7. And
okay.
I got about 45 bootlegs that I shot. Please check them out. Mark Broussard's on there. We're doing Friday.
Okay, so let's see if we're allowed to go into overtime. Just a moment here. We should know because I've just got the 10 seconds.
Yep.
And I think
bye
we're
bye.
Good.
We're good.
All right, cool.
What you going to do
we're
for
good.
Us?
We're good. Yay! We can continue. We've got a half hour yet.
Let me say something quickly about that last song Rachel played. Now I know why you like Walk Off the Earth. I heard a little bit of them in there, and I also heard some Lumineers in that band. You know, a little
Thank
bit
you.
Of Lumineers. That feeling.
Thank you.
Great song. Okay, Carl?
The only other thing I have to say about that show is I was very disappointed that my now ex-husband would not let me scream out, "How the fuck do they work?" Because when they're in the song, like that's one of the lyrics, he says magnets, and then everybody in the background goes, "How the fuck do they work?" He would not let me scream out, "How the fuck do they work?" While I was walking back down the aisle, we were already married. I should have done it anyway because he'd already said I do, but you know what? There's a reason I'm divorced.
Oh wow! And you're allowed to scream that around Carl and I anytime you want.
So fucking
okay,
do.
Carl.
Yes, just for the record, know how magnets work.
So we're going to move on here, and I've got another one, which was originally done by Randy Newman and written by Randy Newman, but then famous by Joe Cocker. I know, we've talked about this, but made famous by Joe Cocker. And remember what you said about Joe Cocker to me, TC?
Yes, he's the world's greatest karaoke singer. Because every song he ever did was somebody else's. But I love Joe Cocker. So.
Absolutely. But this is not Joe Cocker's version of "You Can't Leave Your Hat, You Can Leave Your Hat On." This is Etta James' version.
Song.
Yeah, this is Etta James' version. Okay.
You play.
So be ready to be funkified, people. Here we go, Etta James.
All right.
You can leave your hat on.
Take off.
new favorite version of that song.
I'm feeling some definite funk there.
Wow. Wow.
God, could you imagine, like, if Cake and Etta got together, how funky and weird that would be?
I love that. That's something. That
okay, I have a story about this song, okay? And this one is for you, TC. Do you remember Angie Jameson?
Yes.
Okay, Angie, when we were kids in the 70s, Angie had to be in her 40s, and she was extremely buxom. And I do mean extremely. Okay? So they had a thing in called the Kiwanis Capers.
Right.
And we had tryouts. And I talked Angie Jameson into doing a semi-strip tease to this song while I did the version, the piano version by Newman. We got 30 seconds into it. Like, everyone said, no fucking way. No.
The big hook came out. Aww. That's hilarious.
Seriously.
Well,
I had Angie Jameson convinced to do a fucking striptease to this song.
Yeah. It, Rachel doesn't know the background of the Kiwanis Capers. It was basically Woody Woodruff in a dress in 70 other grueling minutes. Okay.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
Woody Woodruff was a local guy that he wore a dress every year in this damn thing. You know, nobody ever questioned it.
No.
Anyway, that was fantastic, Carl. I mean, I've dug deep into Etta James before, and I've never, ever heard that version. So,
yeah.
We're all getting one of the imaginations tonight. You know?
Hey, ma'am, that's what happens when you burrow further down into the rabbit hole.
You
it just keeps getting weirder and better.
Hey, I'm up to my ankles in rabbit shit right now, so I think we're doing quite well.
Hard to clean out the hovel in a pandemic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Am I next?
You are next, TC.
All right. Every song so far I've introduced a song in the history of song, but I'm going right to the guy who covered it. And I can truly say that one of my favorite songwriters, singer-songwriters of the 20th century is Marcus Mumford. Mumford & Sons, I absolutely love it. I've seen them five and six times. Every song, I can feel where it's coming from and everything. But ironically, one of my favorite songs he did is actually a cover. And we all know this song. It was a single in 1969. Standalone single in 1969, and the next year it was actually included in a studio album called Bridge Over Troubled Water. We know where this is going. Paul Simon and Jerry Douglas wrote the song, and it was largely autobiographical about Paul Simon, but there's actually biblical references in it too. Marcus Mumford wanted to cover this song in 2012. He got a hold of Jerry Douglas, you know, the original co-writer, and he actually called Paul Simon, got him on board with this. So we're going to be listening to Mumford & Sons doing The Boxer.
Here we go.
I'm just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I've squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All eyes and jest, still the man he is what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway stations, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they will know. Well, la la la, 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 come on from the whores on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. Winters on bleeding me, bleeding me, going home. La 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 la. By his trade, and he carries the reminder of every glove that laid him down and cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame. I am leaving, I am leaving, the fighter still remains.
I love that song so much anyway, but you're right. They killed it.
Have you heard that before? Rachel, did you hear that version before?
I have, just because I'm fairly familiar with Mumford & Sons. They come up on one of my Pandora stations pretty frequently.
Huh. Great.
Well, I guess that takes me to my last song for the evening, which I'm really glad I didn't.
Song, is it?
No. I'm really glad I didn't play it earlier, though, like I was planning. You know, I said I was going to play I played Look at the Fields instead. Well, that's because I could have played this one. And holy shit, if I'd have played this one, we would have all committed, like, circle jerk suicide before the end of the show. No lie.
Quick thing, Rachel,
yeah.
Remember when I put my list in, I did not have that song on there. I actually had, remember, Because the Night, covered by 10,000 Maniacs. And
which was one we had talked about.
Yeah, and I had to switch it. I had to put that, I had to include that song. So, okay.
Okay, so mine is by a band that I originally love. I do have a deep, deep love for just 80s music, and I am so sorry for that, guys. I'm such a nerd. Deep love for 80s music. Now, can anybody guess my least favorite Tears for Fears song?
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
No.
Take On Me.
I mean,
hmm?
Oh, shut up, Carl.
Is that it?
No. Take On Me
That's
is not
song.
By
no,
Tears
yeah.
for Fears. No, my least favorite, because it sounds so disjointed. Like, the music versus the story don't connect with me. And that would be Mad World.
Okay, yeah.
And I heard a cover of Mad World. Yes, it was from the Donnie Darko soundtrack. Fucking shoot me. I heard a cover of it by Gary Jules that made the song, like, for you earlier, TC, when we were listening to K-Sara, and you were like, that song finally makes sense to me. That's what happened with this version of Mad World by Gary Jules. Plus, if you ever get a chance, watch the music video. It is fascinating.
How do you spell the last name?
J-U-L-E-S.
Okay.
And if you want to just go ahead and put that on, guys, go ahead and get your tissues out. Cause
I got it right here. Here we go. Mad World by Gary Jules. Love that version.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Just checking. Yeah, making sure we're not all, like, slitting our wrists right now. Is everybody okay?
No, we're okay, I think.
Yeah.
I do need another bottle
fine.
Of tequila. This bottle of tequila is empty, so I will need another one. Drink that song away. But, no, actually, that was incredible. That was incredible. Are you
hearing that was
that
what
artist?
Made it make
was
sense
more?
For me.
Yeah. You know more from that artist? I'm going to look him up, obviously. I've been taking notes the whole night, so I'll look more deeper into him and definitely listen to that one again.
Off the top of my head, no, but I have listened to a lot of his stuff, and I do remember liking it. I can't remember if he does more covers or original work, but he is fantastic.
Yeah. time to revisit.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I want to say about that song is it was originally where we most first heard it was, of course, the soundtrack of Donnie Darko. And that, the music and what they use it for in the film is perfectly matched. It just is.
Yeah.
It truly is, and it's a great song. Now, I'm going to finish up here with my last song. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit, Tom and I, and what happened. Of course, we went to high school together, and then we graduated in 1975. And then for 2 years, there is the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford, which is a satellite university in Bradford. Now, you went there for 2 years, right? And I went there for 4 years.
Yeah,
I actually graduated.
Okay, 2 years.
But the thing about it is we both got involved in something, and that would be the radio station. They had a radio station there. And didn't you do more of the tech work, if I'm not mistaken? Didn't you work with Dave Hako on that?
Yeah, but I also had an overnight show, like 10 p.m.
Oh, that's right. You had the overnight show. That's right. Now, I remember that now. Okay. So I ended up being the program director for 3 years of that station. And it was not, it was just cable. So we could say whatever the fuck we wanted to, you know, damn Dean Crager. And we won't get into that story. That's a story for another time. But do you remember what our theme song was of the radio station? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, so our theme song was White Punks on Dope by the Tubes.
That's right.
Okay?
Right. Yep.
Now, after you left, I was program director. And then I heard this version. And immediately changed it to this version. This version of White Punks on Dope is sung in German. It's called Die Glotze. And it's by Nina Hagen, okay, who is my punk rock goddess. Okay, so this is the German version of White Punks on Dope. And let me tell you something. If you aren't blown away by this at the end, PC, I give up. I seriously give up.
We're not die Art Roman. Hab ich mit 12 zu hinter mich gebracht. Mann, ich will lernen. Und die Abrüstungswaffen sind aufgelaufen. Und diese scheiß Schokolade.
I had a vision of her walking to the front edge of the stage, lifting a skirt and pissing all over everybody in the front row. That's how much I like this song.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.
Fucking right, man.
And you'll see a live version of that. The live version of that. And this is a woman that... And no, she doesn't piss on the front row. But trust me, she's in their face. Trust me. But
oh, wow.
this is a woman. Hold on, this is a woman that ended up doing a great album in 1981 called Nunsuk Sex Monk Music, and then she ended up on stage doing opera and Bertolt Brecht. She did an album of old hymns from the 1920s. She's done a lot. She did that three-penny opera.
Yes. We did a Bertolt Brecht play at Pitt, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Mother Courage. We did Mother Courage.
Yes.
We did Mother
Fantastic,
Courage.
Fantastic, Carl. That was a good poll there.
We changed it to that version, and I got no complaints. And that's nothing against Fee Waybill and Tubes, nothing against Fee Waybill.
Boy, I didn't see that one coming, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I was looking both ways down the alley, and it punched me right in the face.
Yeah,
good song.
Oh, she's
I mean, yeah, I was expecting it to That's smash all a bottle choices, and try to huh? steal my wallet, but.
Yeah, no doubt. Boy, I have a great time with you guys tonight.
It has been a great night. And, TC, I just want to tell you what a pleasure and an honor it has been to finally put a voice to the face, sort of.
Yeah.
A voice to the Facebook, as it were. It's been really great, and I hope you want to come back on the show because
oh,
we can do so
absolutely.
Much more of this. You know, you and I have been talking behind the scenes. And
I told
oh,
Carl, I said,
so,
hey,
so we got a couple minutes. Let's just spitball for a second. What kind of show would you like to do with TC, Rachel? What music show?
Well, I cannot remember what we were talking about. I would have to go look back at some of our conversations, but we both had a bunch of different ones.
I told Carl one today that I thought of last night was rock stars who are dicks. You know,
okay.
ones that really fucked their bands over. I'm thinking, and the thing that made me think about it was Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots. You know,
oh yeah,
they had such a great thing going. You know, and he was a dick. But you know, something like we could go into something like that. Another one I thought of was two-hit wonders, not one-hit wonders, two-hit wonders.
Oh yeah,
you know?
That's what we were talking about because
yeah.
my special favorite one hit wonders, but I like the songs that aren't the one hit.
Yeah.
That's one that we were talking about. You know, I could list so many of them right now.
I brought up Toto. You know, they're known for that fucking Rosanna song, and they're rockers. If you watch any of their live stuff, they are a great band, you know, but they're known for some shitty song. And I thought of one-hit wonders from the 90s even, like Meat Puppets, you know, Backwater.
Oh,
I love
the
song.
Meat Puppets. And see,
yeah,
I've got some from the 90s. We've got Marcy Playground. We've got Harvey Danger.
Sure.
Going back to the 80s,
yeah.
we've got Gary Numan. I mean, there's so many. Like, that is just like a treasure trove. I mean, that can be two shows.
For me, it would be the 80s, like Reflex, Politics of Dancing. Boys Don't Cry,
yeah,
I Want to Be a Cowboy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually saw Reflex open for the Police.
Wow.
It was pretty wacky. It's like, they played that song, it's like, thank you, good night. That's all they had. I don't remember anything else. Yeah, but we could get into one hit wonders. We can get into all sorts. I like the one hit wonders that we heard this song and then all of a sudden it's gone. You know, because the other ones we've been mentioning you hear once in a while, but just the one hit wonder that you know it hit and it was gone. You don't hear it again. And that would be cool.
My number one
like
favorite
that.
Band in the world. That was them. Nobody remembers the song. It was Summer of 97, Touched by the band Vast. And they have actually become my favorite band of all time. I've seen them, like, every time they've come to Arkansas. Like, love these guys. But, yeah, nobody even knows the song I'm talking about.
That could be a show, you know. We'll just stump each other all night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, when Carl first said, let's do what cover songs that you like better than the other. What I send you a list of 35 or something like that. He said,
yeah,
whoa.
You were just like off the top of my head.
Just off the top of my head. I got 35 of them, and it was really hard to whittle it down to 6. But I'm kind of proud of the ones I put up tonight. Had that last-minute substitution, I mean, because tonight, 10,000 Maniacs, which is, they were from up around Carl and where Carl and I are from. They're from Jamestown, New York. And that's another one, rock stars who were dicks. And Natalie Merchant fits right in there. She fucked that band
absolutely.
Over so bad, but you know, okay.
All right. Well, I think it's about time that we wrap it up because we've already gone way into overtime. But guess what? We won the game.
Yes, we did.
I look forward to reconvening with you at some point in the future. Hopefully.
There we go.
And that just happened. So yeah, I think it's time for everybody to just say good night.
All right.
Good night. Tell them it's been a pleasure, man. Seriously. You got to come back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Love you guys. Yeah. Love you,
listeners. I will be back. Love you, too. It's been a great time.
Everybody have fun.
I'll be back in a couple
weeks. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
All right. Good night.
Take care. Good night.